Well, if you are a white Christmas kind of a person, you are absolutely delighted, aren't you? You're absolutely thrilled that looks like this is going to hold on. And you've got the white stuff. And that's a wonderful thing. I have never yet been able to get into the words with any kind of passion and confidence. The seasonal song, "Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow." I haven't been there yet. Some of you are there. But I got my snow tires on. I got my winter coat, my boots. I'm good to go till March. We've had a wonderful time sharing together during this Advent season. We take this very seriously. It's important to us. Advent, the coming of the Lord. The first coming of the Lord is what we celebrate during Christmas time. And we're looking forward also to a second coming. Another Advent, a time where the Lord will come and he will establish his kingdom forever. We've been doing a series this Christmas season called "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And it's been great. And we've been looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 as kind of the theme behind which we've built this series together. And I want just to go over that at the beginning this morning of my message. It says this. This is written by the Apostle John to believers. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Capital W, referring to the word Jesus. "The life," the word, "appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, Jesus, which was with the Father and has also appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." When you know something for certain, you own it, don't you? When you really know something for certain, you own it. Or to put it another way, it owns you. It's unshakable, it's believable, it's true, it's rock solid. There's no denying it. It's a deep conviction that overtakes you, that affects the way you see things. Your perspective changes when you know something for certain. For example, I know for certain that I am a Canadian citizen. I have a passport to prove it. And so because of that, I have a perspective about how I view the world as a Canadian. And all of the things about living in Canada are true for me. I have another deep conviction, something that I know, something that I own and owns me, and that is I'm married to Arlene, who is totally committed to me no matter what. I know that. I believe that. And so in our marriage, in our relationship, that's how I view everything. It's unshakable. When you know something for certain, you own it. And when I read these words written by the Apostle John, it reminds me of a star witness in a trial in a court of law. An expert who has credentials that simply tells the court what he or she knows to be true. This person is someone with standing, someone experienced, and has credibility. So when they speak, people listen. The judge, the jury, listen and decide the believability of the statement of the facts as given by this witness. And court cases are often won or lost on the testimony of a credible witness. Here the Apostle John is essentially writing for us a witness statement regarding the facts that he knows to be true about Jesus Christ. He has firsthand knowledge, having spent several years with Jesus 24/7. Technically, the whole letter of 1 John is a witness statement. It's a great read. I trust that you take time occasionally to read through it, study through it. It highlights who Jesus is and who Jesus' followers are. John really believed what he wrote and what he said. So much so that he spent his lifetime spreading the report about what he believed. Here to people who had put their faith in Christ to inform them and to encourage them, but also to tutor those outside of the faith, those who had not yet come to know Jesus in a personal way, to talk to people about what it means to know Jesus. I'm always encouraged when I read through 1 John. It's worthwhile time spent. John put his life and reputation on the line by being an advocate for Christ. We read that he was persecuted, imprisoned, sent into exile for his belief, yet he stayed true to Christ to the very end. Why? Because he was absolutely convinced that Jesus was the real deal, that Jesus was the truth. And Jesus knew what he knew, and nothing was going to change that, no matter what came and went. And we notice also in this passage of Scripture something interesting, that John isn't the only witness to what he was testifying about. Notice it says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which our hands have touched, this we proclaim. Oh, it's great to have personal convictions, and I trust you have good ones. Live them out to the full. But it's even better, isn't it, when other people share the same convictions and live those out with you. So John and the others were all expert witnesses for Jesus. They heard Jesus. They saw him up close and personal. They touched him before and after he had died and rose from the dead. They spent time with him. In fact, weeks after Jesus' resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, listening to him teach about the kingdom of God. So John and these hundreds of other witnesses openly proclaimed to others what they knew for sure about Jesus, so that others would believe for themselves. And when you believe these strong convictions along with other people, there is an incredible bond that grows between us. A deep fellowship, unlike anything else in the whole world. When you have a love and a relationship for Christ, anyone else who has that same love for Christ, you feel attached to, related to. And so we see that in his letter, John highlights many of the benefits and responsibilities of belonging to Christ's church, experiences that will mature and shape us profoundly. Love, you really get to know about love within the context of the church family. Love that sacrifices and shares willingly for the benefit of others. We don't learn love from the world at its greatest measure. We learn it from Christ. We also experience light that gives direction and exposes sin. And we also experience faith that overcomes the world. So today, we as a church family are witnesses like John and his contemporaries who knew what they knew about Jesus. You and I. We as followers of Christ all have a story to tell. And our encounter with Jesus is like the disciples had after Jesus ascended into heaven. Remember, they no longer saw Jesus physically. They no longer spoke to him and touched him physically. Their relationship was like ours, by faith in the risen Lord. That's why we do well to read and know what they knew and why they knew it. Because it kept them committed to Christ for the rest of their lives. And their insights about Jesus are available for any of us to grab a hold of and to be foundational for our own convictions about our life, what we know to be true. That's why I constantly tell you to make it a priority to read what God's Word has to say. Learn it. Own it. Apply it to your life. And it'll transform your perspective on everything. And so I've enjoyed our Advent series, Do You Hear What I Hear? I'm sure you have as well. Each week, we've heard from different people that we know telling us about their unshakable convictions about the reality of Christ in their lives, what they've been through, what they have learned, what they're trying to live out. Not that any of them claimed to be perfect, and not that any of them knew how all of the details were going to unfold, but the fact that bottom line, they were going to trust God regardless of what they were going to go through. That's what bottom line faith looks like. And so I hope that everyone here today will be ready to talk about what you know to be true about Jesus to anyone who will listen. The things that we have already experienced God doing in us and through us, and the things that we are trusting the Lord with right now. To put this in simple terms, we believe what God has promised, He will do. We believe what God has promised, He will do. His word is His bond. And it is as solid as God is all powerful and totally unlimited. And so, we believe in the promises that we have already received. Things like forgiveness for our sins. Those of us who have confessed our sins to the Lord understand that we now have been forgiven. That's a promise of God that you will be forgiven when you confess your sin. And so that's an experience of what God has already promised He will do and has done. Salvation from eternal loss. Wisdom for countless situations. God, I need wisdom today, and God gives us wisdom. Promise of God. We see the fulfillment of it. We experience it. Guidance for choices that we're making. And we ask for God to direct our paths, to show us what to do. And we acknowledge Him, and we see that He does. He directs us. Many promises we've already received, but we also believe for the promises that are still to be completed. Things like a full and blessed life to the end. I've told you a zillion times, of all men, I am most blessed. I feel so blessed all the time, but I haven't finished my life yet. One day I'll have had a full and complete life, and so to the end, it's still a promise that's unfolding for my life every single day. There's also a promise of a dwelling place waiting for me and for all of us who have faith in Christ, a dwelling place with God that we're going to live with the Lord throughout eternity. I haven't gone there yet, neither of you. You're here this morning, but one day we will. That's a promise that we're waiting for. All the other things that are yet to come, we find from God's word, there are many, but I love this. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Christ, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. If you've never underlined that verse in your Bible, do it. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Christ, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No matter. There are hundreds of promises in the Bible. And every single one of them is yes for you and for me in Jesus Christ by faith. Believers in Jesus are the beneficiaries of God's promises. And Jesus himself is the guarantee that God is a faithful promise keeper. Today's theme is confidence in the promise. And when you look at the Christmas story, you realize that it is a story full of promises from God. Promises that God made to anyone who would believe him. Promises made to mankind over the course of time. Some that have been fulfilled, others that are still coming to pass. Promises that have already been completed, that we recognize and can acknowledge, those are meant to solidify our faith for the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. Because God has already done so many things he said he would, we have every reason to believe for the rest of them. Promises, quite the thing. Lots of songs have been written about promises. Lots of talk about promises. We've all had promises, I'm sure, made to us from one time or another that weren't kept. People promised they were going to do something and then they didn't do it. And maybe we ourselves have made promises to others that we haven't kept. That's kind of our experience with promises. And yet God's promises are different from any one you've ever experienced in your life. They are what they say they are. What God says he will do, he will do. Consider the great promise that God would send a Savior to earth to save people from the consequences of their sins. What did he do? He sent a Savior. God kept his promise because that's what God does. And Christmas is a story of God keeping his word at great personal cost. God the Son came and gave himself as the perfect sacrifice to pay for every sinner's sin. That's how solid God's promises are. There's nothing that can derail God from doing what he plans to do. We know through our experiences of promises that some are longer term and require patience, waiting for them to be fulfilled. However, in those promises, you can be patient regardless of the time frame when you have confidence in the one who's making the promises. Being one who is always known for keeping their word. For example, some promises in life are relatively short-term deals. Hours, days, weeks, even months. Oh, I'll have that ready for you within the hour. Anybody ever had that kind of promise made before? Or I'll get around to that next week. Another promise that's made. By this time next month, you'll be in your new house. Or you'll have your new car. Or by this time next month, you'll have your new office. And so by that time, either next week or next month, you find out if the promise was real or not. Some promises in life are short term. And likewise, some of God's promises are fulfilled quickly. I've mentioned some of those earlier. Forgiveness for sin when you ask it. It's instant. Peace during turbulent times is immediate when you pray and ask for it. Directions for your next step in life. In real time, when you live in the Spirit. But then other promises that we make in life are long-term deals. For example, marriage. I say to my spouse, I promise to keep my covenant to you as long as we both shall. It gets a little dicey out there today, doesn't it, at times? As long as we both shall live. That's long-term commitment. Long-term commitment. We experience longer-term commitments and promises, many times in a vacation, a contract for an extended period of time with expectations that are given, and things that are going to have to be fulfilled. And likewise, some of God's promises take a lifetime to be fulfilled. Things like a legacy of faith that's passed on to bless the family and others, that takes a lifetime. I mentioned earlier about me having the blessed life, and I'll only know that to the very end when I get to the end. But even what I'm trying to accomplish with my life and passing on the faith that I have in Christ to my family, to my friends, to anyone else, that's going to take my lifetime as well, leaving that legacy of faith behind. And the quality and size of that legacy will only be known at that time, somewhere down the road. Even eternal life itself, while I step into eternal life when I come and commit my life to Jesus, because he is eternal life, while I live here on earth, I have that change, that transformation within me. When I leave this life, eternal life goes into high gear. That's now forever. That'll be a way to live that I've never experienced before. So know this, the more you live in God's promises on a daily basis, the more you develop confidence in the God who makes the promises to you. Now, I believe that persevering in the promise is a rewarding way to live. It shapes and influences your perspective on life. Receiving the promise confirms that it was worth the waiting. There are a couple of people in the Christmas story that often get overlooked with the attention that is given to the familiar characters in Jesus' narrative, birth narrative. You know, we talk a lot about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels, even the Magi and King Herod sometime later. These get talked about during the Advent season for obvious reasons, in Christmas pageants and nativity scenes and scripture readings. However, today I want to quickly mention two people that intersect with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus about a month after his birth. Their names are Simeon and Anna. And I do this because they show to us what it looks like to live life confidently in the promise of God over the long term. When you look at Simeon and Anna, you realize that these are people with oven-baked faith as opposed to microwave faith. Did you know there's a difference in baking? I'm a microwave baker. Arlene is the oven baker. She's an excellent cook. But if I can stick something and nuke it for 5 minutes, I'm good to go. Unfortunately, that's the way it is many times in people's faith. There's a difference in the quality of your faith. Some people's faith is oven-baked. It's taken a lifetime to forge, and it's strong, and it's the real deal. It's genuine. It's unshakable. And other people's faith is microwave. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. And when it doesn't happen, I guess I'm going to give up. I guess I'm going to toss it aside. I guess I'm not going to do anything. And so it keeps changing day after day after day after day. That's microwave faith. These two, Simeon and Anna, had oven-baked faith. They had decided to follow the Lord at some point. And over the years, they did that faithfully to the end, confident in God and his word, even though it took years for the promise to be completed. And Simeon's and Anna's encounters with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are worth the wait for them, it turns out. Their reactions to the fulfillment of the promises they held on to for years tell us how overjoyed they were with God. They'd waited a very long time for what they believed God had promised, and it had been totally worth it. What they found out is that the timing of God is always perfect. And if you've served the Lord long enough, you know that that's the truth. Our timing isn't perfect. God's timing always is. God sees the whole story. We only see part of it. And we now know from reading the story in Luke that Simeon's and Anna's lives were both on a collision course with a savior of mankind. Even though they couldn't know it. They couldn't know when, they couldn't know where. And here's how the drama unfolds, if you're really into drama. Like, this is amazing. According to Jewish law, a boy child was circumcised on his eighth day. And then the mother of the child was considered to be ceremonially unclean for another 33 days. And when that time had passed, the mother would then be required to offer a sacrifice to God so that she would become ceremonially clean again. That is, she would be able to enter into worship. So, to do that, a person of means, people who had stuff, would offer a lamb as a sacrifice for this ceremonial cleansing. While a poor person might offer a pair of doves or a pair of young pigeons. And the parents of that child would also consecrate their firstborn son to the Lord at that time. And so that's what happened. Here's the delay. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem when the time of their purification had been completed. You read about that in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. In my devotional to you midweek, I encouraged you to read this portion of scripture so you got the idea of what was happening. Mary and Joseph went to the temple to consecrate Jesus, their firstborn male, to the Lord. And there they offered their sacrifice of a pair of doves or pigeons, indicating their modest means. And it was there during this act of worship and sacrifice to God that Mary and Joseph, who were blessed, they were blessed by meeting Simeon and Anna, who themselves were blessed by this encounter. When you read about Simeon, you see that he's described as a righteous and devout man who kept in step with the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit gave him revelation that he would see the Christ before he died. It tells us even in this occasion that he was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple that very day, at that very time. And when he got there and he saw Jesus, it says Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. Simeon acknowledged that the promise that God had made to him had now been fulfilled. And then Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph and Jesus and then spoke a prophetic word to them about Jesus' destiny, which would result in Mary's sorrow, the time of his crucifixion and death. Truly a remarkable encounter orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And the second meeting was with a prophetess named Anna, who was at the temple as she was every day, worshiping God, fasting and praying. And Anna too was rewarded for her faithfulness in believing God for the fulfillment of the promise of a Savior, something that she had held on to for her whole life. Anna was 84 years of age when she experienced the reward of her perseverance. And the Bible tells us that she was overwhelmed with gratitude. There was no hint there that she was disappointed at all that it took that long. For when she saw Jesus, she was overwhelmed. It says in verse 38, coming to them at that very moment after Simeon had offered his blessing to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna here as well shows what happens to people who live with confidence in the promise. When you're blessed by God, you can't keep it to yourself. You just have to tell other people. You're rewarded for your faith and you encourage other people to be confident in their faith, what God has promised into their lives. What a way to live every day. Believing God's word to you and choosing to live accordingly. That kind of helps us even to understand something that we've been talking about today and the other weeks that we've had of this series, Do You Hear What I Hear? Not only experiencing God's best, but sharing it with others. Do you hear? Do you hear? Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? Have you experienced what I experience? See, if you're already a follower of Jesus, I encourage you today to live every day with confidence in the promises God has made to you. Every one of them is being fulfilled. And they are absolutely guaranteed by Christ. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus yet, I encourage you to investigate Jesus. Find out what you're missing out on. Find out what you can experience when you put your trust in Jesus. And that, my friends, is what Christmas is really all about. We hear during this time of the year that Christmas is about a lot of things. But let me tell you, Christmas is about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven. Came to earth to provide the way it means for you and any of us to have our lives transformed. And when you buy into the promise of God, you experience the good news of great joy found only in Jesus Christ. And remember, as the scripture tells us, every promise God has made to you and me is yes. By faith in Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I hear? I pray that everyone here today understands Christmas for yourself. That you understand what it means and that you've experienced Jesus. But not only that, that you want to tell other people about this as well. That you want others to know what you know. Do you hear what I hear? Christmas Eve is coming. It's hard to believe how fast this year has gone. Here we are now, just days away, Christmas Eve. I encourage you to come and join us as we continue with this theme together. A lot of these things are going to be tied in. We're going to experience as well some of the things that we've been experiencing on Sundays as a reminder and a refresher of the blessing of God to us. And then again, Christmas Day, celebrating together the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you hear what I hear? Whatever God has promised you today, know for sure that He is good for His word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, I thank you for every person in this room who has been listening to these words. I pray that all of us, Lord, will have been encouraged in our faith in you, inspired, that we will be people who are absolutely overwhelmed with the fact that we know for certain what John the Apostle wrote about and all of the people around him who saw Jesus and witnessed Jesus and experienced Jesus, what they know. What they gave their life to. And I pray that every one of us, Lord, will be just that. That Christmas will be a time where we're inspired in our faith. Not just to keep it to ourselves and to live in the peace that you would give to us. And all the other blessings that you bestow. But that we will be sure to share the news with everyone who will listen to us. How great you are. And so, Lord, I pray that these words, these thoughts will inspire all of us today. In an even greater way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand with us today as we close this beautiful song together.